Amen. So as we turn towards this subject of blessing, we've seen in our study so far that the theme of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That it's all about Him. It's about the unfurling of Him in this story, of making Him visible so that we can see Him for as He is. And so all the titles, the development of the story, the hero is Jesus Christ. And as we look towards this, we saw that the climax of this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When He comes in glory in chapter 19, riding upon a white charger to claim His inheritance and to bring the victory of God to this earth. And as we saw in Sunday school, that is what is true. And we've got to live in light of this truth for us. And here in this text before us, we have God giving us and extending to us a promise of blessing. And what I find fascinating is that the Bible ends where it begins. This is something that's so beautiful to me. Yeah, when we say, what is beauty? Well, it's something that's true, it's something that's right, and yet it's put together in such an orderly fashion that we have to stand back and say in awe. I think about this room, this aspect. There are certain things that have been set up to be beautiful, to be balanced. And you have on one side a TV, on the other side a TV. You've got a wreath on one side, a wreath on the other. This pulpit is designed to be beautiful. It's got a panel on this side with just the right height and a panel on this side to match it. And everything's balanced so that everything comes off the center of what God's trying, of what we're trying to do here with God's Word. And everything's designed. It's just, that's kind of the principles of beauty. Well, when it comes to God putting together His book, He wants it to be beautiful. I find that just fascinating to me that this Bible, I know it's true. How do you know it's true? One of the ways I know it's true is because it's beautiful. No book is put together like this. As we begin to look at this, it's interesting, this book itself, Revelation, starts with a promise for blessing. But if you go to the last chapter, in chapter 22, verse 7, it says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so the blessing that's stated at the beginning is also stated at the end. And we're actually going to find out that many of Revelation's themes run from the beginning and they come back around to the end. But this is not just talking about the beginning and ending I'm talking about here. We're talking about the beginning that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Because this is how the Bible begins, with the blessing of God. And so as we look towards this, what I want us to think about, first of all, is the blessing that's talked about in Genesis. We know that the beginning of the Bible starts with the creation of God. It climaxes towards the sixth day. And on that sixth day, God creates all the animals upon the earth. And we find there that God gives them a blessing. And in the creation, there's a threefold blessing. He blesses the animals, then He blesses mankind, and then He blesses the Sabbath day for a day of rest and worship, and ultimately a picture of salvation. But then the story of the Bible turns quickly in chapter 3 with the curse of God after man sins. There's the curse upon the serpent for his deception and his rebellion. Then there's the curse upon the ground for man's sake because of his disobedience. And then the very first two brothers ends that relationship with a murder, and a curse comes upon Cain. And so now we have just on one side, the blessing of God is extended out towards the earth. Now the Bible turns, and now the curse of God is upon this earth. But God is not done there. God intends to bring about a restoration of the blessing through Abraham. And so the book of Genesis is one of the strongest books that talk about the blessing of God. And this may seem like a little confusing, but I think it's a little bit helpful for us to see this. This is the word for blessing in the Old Testament in a pie chart. And the dark blue is the occurrences in Genesis. It receives most of the emphasis in the Old Testament in Genesis. Now, those first opening, you've got Exodus is in red. Deuteronomy gets the light color there. And then Psalms is the book in green, and so the blessing of God is a major emphasis in the Psalms as well. And as we, if you trace through, it makes sense, because part of what God does to Abraham is says, I will bless you, and in blessing you, I will multiply your seed, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God's blessing wasn't just for this one man, it was intended for the whole world, and yet this man was the tool and the instrument. Ultimately, the seed of Abraham, which would ultimately be not just a descendant, but a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus that the blessing of God comes. And so throughout Genesis, you can trace the blessing. The blessing from Abraham goes to Isaac, and from Isaac to Jacob. And then from Jacob, he blesses his 12 sons, and particularly Joseph and Judah. And that runs through the entire, in fact, the end of Genesis in 49, the last, second to last chapter, is that passing on of the blessing. It's one of the main themes of the opening of the Bible. So I have to ask this question, what is the blessing? What is God talking about here? And so we say, well, I think I know what the word blessing is, right? I mean, we use that word and say, the Lord bless you and these type of things. But what did the Bible use it to mean? You go from the very beginning, God says he blessed them. And what's he say? Be fruitful and multiply. So that, and that's what he said to not only the animals, but that's what he said to mankind as well. And as you look at the blessing of God to Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to multiply your seed. And that reiteration of the blessing throughout Genesis is a continual blessing of children. Even to those who are barren, God says, I will bless you. And you will bring forth a son. And so there's an aspect to which the blessing of God is life. It's life in the form of children, more life coming upon this world. But there's an aspect to the aspect of life, I think, can help summarize that for us. Not only this, but it is abundant life and prosperity. Now, the Bible talks about the blessing of God as coming. When the blessing of God comes, it's not just that, oh yeah, I'm living, I'm making it by, I'm surviving. No, life is going well. It's working the way it's supposed to. So we say the blessing of God on this earth is what makes this world... Okay, what happened there? Okay, all right. Start over again. The blessing of God is what makes this world tick. It's the sun shines because of the blessing of God. My car starts because of the blessing of God. You know, my body functions, my heart beats because of the blessing of God. Nothing works like it's supposed to. Nothing is successful apart from the blessing of God. And what's so powerful to me as I was reading in our Bible readings a few, probably been a week ago so now, Leviticus 25, he was telling them, I want you to take an entire year off and don't work the land. Don't work for a solid year. How would that work in your household? Try not working for a month. Huh? You're like, who's going to pay the bills? God says, I don't want you to harvest anything. I don't want you to plant anything. And what does he say? He says, when you are going to honor me and put out and step out in faith and observe an entire year of Sabbath, God says, I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. God says, you know what? I control so much of how things work. I've got it. God has a range on there, and he says, this is normal output produce. And when he wants to turn it up, he can cause it to go up 1.5, 2, 300%. Here's what he's promising for them if they would just step out and believe. You know, the blessing of God was upon Isaac when he was among the Philistines and they were trying to hurt him. And the Bible says the Lord blessed him and his crops brought forth in 1 year 100-fold. I couldn't help but read that passage and think of Jesus' promise of us bearing fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. No, the blessing of God, when it comes upon something, it's, to me, I think of it in terms of the desert. You go out there and the winds are blowing and the cactus are there and the sand and there's nothing hardly growing whatsoever. It's barren. But there's a short period of time in many of these deserts where large amounts of rain will come flooding down through them, and all of a sudden, flowers will begin to grow, and things will begin to come out of the sand that you never knew was there. That's the difference between the blessing of God. The blessing of God is like being in a dark room. You know nowhere to go. You can possess nothing if it's truly dark. You cannot. The blessing of God is the light of God shining on, and now you can actually function. Now you can actually possess. It's only by the blessing of God. The Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." So we see there's an abundance of life. There's a prosperity that the blessing of God gives. But not only this, there's a permanency to the blessing of God. It's a permanency that brings security. It's interesting, David spoke to the Lord after he gave him the blessing of Abraham, to him, the covenant blessing for a son and the kingship there. In verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 17, he says, "Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever." When God blesses, he loves to put something in a place of permanent blessing, security. It's interesting that this aspect of blessing is focused with in Psalm 5:12. This security aspect is a part of this. It says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him with a shield." We see this aspect of permanence and security with the blessing of protection, an idea of Job. Satan said, "You've blessed the work of his hands. You've made a hedge about him." So he has prosperity. His substance has increased in the land. He's protected on every hand. He's saying, just remove the blessing of God, and then he'll curse you. We find that the story, I believe, Job is a picture of the story of the Bible. It's a picture of redemption, restoration that God wants. Starts off so well, not that he sins and falls away, but the end, again, returns to blessing. Chapter 42, it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning." Say that this man, he knew what it was like to experience the blessing of God. He knew what it was like to experience the deprivation of that blessing. And yet we know the end of the Lord. His end is to bring us to a place, a better blessing than we've ever experienced before. And so when we look towards this blessing, I would just say, define the blessing is, for God's blessing is life enjoyed in its fullness through the provision and protection of God. You know, it's life. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 3, he says, "For there," talking about the mountains of Zion, "the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." You say, we all want to live. None of us want to die, and yet we don't want to just have a bad life. We want to live well. We want to enjoy this life. We want things to go well. We want relationships to work. We want our finances to work out well. We want to have a future. We want to have to build a plan. We want God to bless us. And this is what you and I need. Our life, your life, will rise or fall by the blessing of God. That is what's true. Do you know our country will rise or fall with the blessing of God? Proverbs 11:11 says, "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted." Every city prospers because of God's blessing upon the upright. But it, the city, is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. We say, look around us at our country. Look around at the state of this world. What this world needs is more of the blessing of God upon his people. This is a fundamental thing from the very beginning. God placed his blessing. God took his blessing away and put the curse on. And now he is bringing a plan through Abraham and through his seed, through Jesus Christ, to restore this blessing to the world. That's a part of the story of the Bible. And it's interesting enough that this is ultimately the theme that Revelation goes to right away, that God has a blessing in this book for you and me. I want to go over a few principles for blessing that we find from the Old Testament. And then actually, they all come from Leviticus chapter 9, verses 22 through 24, Leviticus chapter 9. We see there that it says, "And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings." So he just came down from what? Offering sacrifices. The blessing of God now to us in our particular state as sinful human beings, the blessing of God can only come to you and me through the sacrifice that God has provided. In the Old Testament, it was the sacrifices at the temple. In the New Covenant, he has made a sacrifice through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way that you can receive the blessing, the life-giving water from God to cause things to grow. You know that the blessing also comes through the presence of God. It says, verse 23, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people." So it's the glory of God that comes down upon the tabernacle. And now that he's amongst them, this is how the blessing of God can come to his people. So it's important for us to understand, as much as I might sound like a prosperity gospel preacher through the first 15, 20 minutes of this message, oh, you can have the blessing of God. Yes, you can. But in that, it's not saying, oh, I'm going to come. The aspect here that we have to understand is the blessing of God only comes through God. It's about being related rightly to him. It's about being in his presence and having fellowship with Almighty God. And then there's an aspect to which, as I was meditating upon these truths, I'd say it's not about us going to God so that we can get the blessing. Though there's an aspect which God is drawing us in. He wants every single person here to say, I want that. I need that blessing. But it's not so, okay, this is the way to do it. I'm going to go to God so I can get the blessing. It's saying, I wouldn't want the blessing, any other blessing than what God gives. You've got to get to that place where you say, you know what, God? It's through your blessing, and that's the only means of blessing by which I'm going to seek. So whatever you give, I will give you praise and thanksgiving for it. And whatever you choose not to give, I'm not going to try to go around and get a different way. I'm going to trust God. It's interesting, throughout the Bible will talk about it in this way. He says, I will be with thee and bless thee. See, the blessing of God comes with the fellowship of his presence. And when you think about the blessing, don't think about this as just material goods. Think about this as delight. It says, and this is not the blessing of God to us, but in 1 Kings chapter 8, it talks about that they blessed the king and they went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done. When the people bless the king, are they happy with the king? Are they joyful? When we bless God, we are going to be joyful, we're going to be praising, we're excited. What about when God blesses you? God delights in you. He loves you. I love this time of year. I love the spring breezes. I love the freshness of outside and all this excitement. It's almost, and I'm holding myself back like with wild horses trying to take off. It's almost time to start planting flowers. I just love flowers. They're just, if no one else exists in the world, no one else was to see them but me, I would still plant them. I enjoy them. But there's also an aspect to which they're beautiful and they make our house look nice and hopefully make our church look nice. And there's a part that those flowers from the just the blessing, they bring beauty and color, and they reflect also on the gardener too. So there's an aspect to which this analogy works pretty well for God. And it's like, you're a flower. You're supposed to bloom. What do you need? Well, you know what I've got for my flowers? I got this huge hose. And I can just turn this thing on, and I've got water gushes out. And if I wanted to, I could flood my entire flower bed. I could just pour it on there. But I just, there's something about me. When I'm putting my on my plants and I'm pouring the water on, I'm just happy. I'm like, oh, good. They need this. They need this water. And I come over, oh, put some more water. Oh, maybe just give them a little bit more over here. Oh, this, if a little bit's good, more will be better. And I just love watering them. God's got the blessing, and he says, I can command the blessing towards you. It's at his disposal. He's in control of the knob. He's got the hose, the direction of the blessing of God, and he delights to give it to you. That's why he's saying before you, I set before you blessing or a cursing. And this is the theme ultimately of the Bible as he's going through. This is what I want to restore to you. The blessing of God. That's what the coming of Jesus Christ is going to bring to this earth. We call it the kingdom of God. The blessing of God upon this earth. Boy, you haven't seen flowers yet. You haven't seen tomatoes or squash or cucumbers yet until you've entered into the kingdom of God. You haven't seen living yet and happy people yet until you've entered into the kingdom of God. What you and I need is the blessing of God. What I want us to see here is this blessing is being told to us in the book of Revelation. And what's so cool about this is that God gives us a sevenfold promise of blessing in Revelation. You know, a seven is a very important number throughout Revelation. It's a number of completion, bringing to perfection. There's seven, the Spirit has talks about the seven spirits of God, the seven churches, the seven candlesticks. I mean, we're going to talk about seven bowls, seven trumpets. You're going to hear the word seven a lot through this. And yet when you piece together the blessings that God gives, it comes out to the number seven. Because God has a perfect blessing for you and me. As we look towards this, we've already seen two of those promises or blessing are tied specifically to reading, hearing, and obeying this book. And the sixth blessing as well at the end. You can see then the second one occurs in Revelation chapter 14. He says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. This aspect of anyone who dies a martyr's death. Anyone who dies in the Lord and for the Lord's cause, there's a blessing there for us. And so that would encourage us to say, ooh, I'm not going to shy away from persecution. I'm not going to shy away from experiencing difficulty. That kind of reminds me of another blessing, right? From the Beatitudes. Blessed are they when all men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. The blessings of Jesus Christ and the Beatitudes. Anyway, it's so beautiful to compare all these together. You go down to another, in the blessing number five, he's not talking about death. In the fifth blessing, which is actually found in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, he says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Okay, you're blessed if you die in the Lord, because blessed are you to partake in the resurrection. That's when you're going to experience the blessing of God, when you'll never experience any part of death again. And so ultimately it's pointing towards this future blessing of God. Then in the third blessing is in chapter 16, verse 15. It says, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he be walked naked and they see his shame. There's a call here to responsibility. If you want the blessing of God, you better make sure you cling to that robe that he's given to you. Your only claim of entrance, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, the seventh blessing, at the end of the book, he says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. So both of these are talking about a responsibility that you have to be able to enjoy the blessing of God. And that city is the New Jerusalem. the future place of God's presence. And in the middle there, it said the fourth one is the blessing to those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's all about the Lamb, and that's in chapter 19, verse 9. That's where the blessing of God is going to fall in the future. When you and I gather around, it's going to be a fellowship meal. We're going to have good things to eat, but ultimately the benefit and the joy of that meal is that we're going to be with the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be at His table, and we're going to enjoy His provision forever and ever and ever. That is true blessing. So when we look at the blessing that's found in Revelation, it really is the blessing of eternal life, resurrection with no more death, entrance into the kingdom of God, fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. I hope that I'm stirring within your heart a desire for this blessing. Because if I have, then the next part is going to be very intriguing to you, because there is a requirement for this blessing. God intends and desires to give it, and yet he says here, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. So he's got a qualification that you have to meet. And it's interesting, when you understand what's going on here, it's singular. Blessed is he, the one person who's reading, and the second, the people who are hearing, are plural. You know what that lets us know? That the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ was written as a letter to the seven churches, which meant that if someone was to come in, they open up the back doors. I'll make it a little more dramatic. Preacher, preacher, we got a letter from the Apostle John. What? We do? Yes, it's supposed to go to us, and then it's going to go up to Zini, and then it's going to go over to Prescott, and then it's going to go down over here to Pittsburgh. Oh, quick, we've got it for this Sunday. Let's read the whole book right here. And we would sit down and one person would read it and everybody else would hear it. Can you imagine reading through the book one time in one sitting and then waiting for it to come back around to you in the future? Maybe they would have a chance to study. Maybe it's a little too dramatic for that. But I think about it. You say, blessed are they who hear. Blessed are they who stay awake, right? Okay, we're going to be reading. We're going to be reading God's Word chapter after chapter. Oh, man, this is 22 chapters. Whew, this is a long scroll. Blessed is the person who wants to know God's Word. Someone who's attentive. Someone who is desirous. Who's going to be there and say, okay, this is from God. I'm going to listen to every part. I want to hear it. I want to know it. I want to understand what God has for me. It's interesting as we look towards this blessing. It's for those who read and hear the words of this book. It may seem to anticipate that this book in particular, the book of Revelation, might be a book that would be neglected by the church because he gives a special blessing. Don't forget about this book. There's a special blessing for keeping and honoring the words of this book. And so there's the one book, ironically, that some would reject. And even, I believe it was Luther, went through and said, he put the book of Revelation and give reasons why he didn't think it should even be in the Bible. And it's kind of like, what in the world is going on? How many times people say, oh, I understand everything. I'd rather read from Genesis to Jude, but not Revelation. Why? This is the one book that promises blessing if you and I will study it. You know what? God has a special blessing for you and me throughout this study. He's going to bless us. He's going to turn a blessing towards you and me because we are studying and hearing this book. And so it makes me excited about seeing what does God have for us. You know, but also God's blessing is towards those who, what I believe is true about the book of Revelation is true for the whole book that Revelation is a part of, and that's the Bible. And we see this in God's blessing. We sang about this early. Blessed is the man. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor the sin of the scornful. What is he? The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. You know, the book of the Genesis, the book of Psalms begins just like the book of Genesis, focusing on the blessing of God. It's fascinating that Psalm 119 begins the very same way. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. You think God has a message for us? If you want to be blessed, it only comes through the word of God. You cannot say, okay, God, I'm ready for the blessing. The blessing's going to fall in God's flower bed, all right? He doesn't put it over in the weed fields. It's going to be in his flower bed. And where's his flower bed? It's right in the word of God. Where are you going to plant yourself? Are you going to heed it? Are you going to hear it? Are you going to study it and read it day after day? So you must love God's word to receive the blessing of God. The Psalms also teach us that the blessing of God comes to those whose sins are forgiven. Psalm 32 is another psalm that starts with a double blessing. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And so there's this aspect of we need our sins forgiven. You cannot come to God and say, okay, God, pour out your blessing on me unless your sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the garments that he gives in Revelation are symbolizing. The righteousness, the whiteness, clothed with him and like him before the throne. It's a gift of God to you, the gift of salvation. And it is the beginning of God's blessing. Don't try to seek the blessing of God while you're still in your sins. Have them forgiven. Confess them to him. And then we find that the blessing of God goes to those who trust in God. The end of the opening to Psalm 1 and 2 is, blessed is the man. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And the final book of Psalm 1, the Psalter is divided into five books. The last psalm ends with a blessing. And it says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. It's an emphasis. It's through faith that God's blessing came. Isn't that what we saw in Leviticus? When you believe him and trust him and saying, God, I'm willing to take you at your word. Then God says, that's the person I'm going to pour out my blessing upon. Not only is it just for those who hear and read, but it's also for those who keep. This aspect of keeping has the idea of on guard, attentiveness. So there's an aspect of whosoever keepeth the words of this prophecy is the idea of careful observation. You know, there's the aspect here of, he says, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. What are we supposed to be observing? There's an aspect of we're guarding these words, but these words are telling us about the coming of Jesus Christ. There's a parallel here between believing God to say, okay, I'm going to trust and hold on to his words, and I'm looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. You cannot claim to being obedient to his word and neglecting this anticipation, this looking for, this watching for that day when Jesus Christ is going to come back. Are we ready? The only way to be ready, because he could come in a moment's notice, at any time, the time is at hand, is what the scriptures have echoed since his departure. And so this reality is we have got to be on guard, attentive to his word. And so it's not only careful observance, but it's careful obedience. And we know that word keep has the idea of not letting them fall to the ground, so you're being obedient. I'm not neglecting them. God gives a command. How many times do your parents give a command to their children and they're like, oh, I forgot? Well, that sounds like a wonderful excuse, doesn't it? To the person who didn't do it. But the very aspect of forgetting is making a statement about the words or the authority to which you submit. And so we find throughout Scripture, Jesus himself in Luke chapter 11, 28 says, yea, blessed are they that hear the word of God. Whew. If he'd only stop there. He said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. What does he command in the Great Commission? Teaching them to observe, same word, keep all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know, this is a major theme in John. If any man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Chapter 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. There's this wonderful Trinitarian relationship that God will bring you into, and yet your responsibility is to show and manifest that you love Jesus Christ. How? By keeping his commandments. And so we find from this that there is a call for us not just to hear this book, to obey it. When you read through the book of Revelation, it is not a second Exodus or a second Deuteronomy. You don't find a bunch of commands to be obeyed. And so it makes me puzzle and say, what do you mean, keep it the sayings that are written therein? There's an aspect to which I think the entire message that Jesus Christ is King, Lord, coming again to claim his territory for himself is a message, is a commandment, is a rule, a principle that overshades every aspect of our lives. And if I live in any area of my life as if Jesus is not coming again, then I'm neglecting this book and what it's teaching to me. One final observation here is, it says, he that readeth, they that hear and keep, all of those are in the present tense. What does that mean? It means the ones who are hearing, and the ones who are reading, and the ones who are obeying. You know what? This is an ongoing thing that God calls in our lives. Not just a one-time thing in the past. Oh, I made a decision. This is a reality in our lives today if you and I want the blessing of God. Isn't this what James told us? Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anybody hear of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his face, his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Didn't make any difference, didn't change. I almost did that. I almost walked out the door today and said, wait a second, something's not right. Oh, yeah, I better go back. And I'd have looked a shabby mess. You probably wouldn't recognize me. This is what he's talking about. If you go out of this building and you saw yourself and the need for the blessing of God and you do nothing to seek it. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Anybody know to finish it with me? This man shall be blessed in his deed. The blessing of God will come to you when you fulfill the commandments of God. You know why I love this message, why it burns in my heart? Because as a young man, not as young as I wish I was, as a young teenage man, God put in my heart a desire for the blessing of God. And I wanted it. And it made me do some things I didn't want to do. But I said, God, I'm willing to do it if I could just have your favor and your blessing on me. And I look back after 20-some years since those days, and I look at my wife and we rejoice because we've experienced the blessing of God. Now, we do look at each other and say, but we could have more. It's not like I'm saying I'm a good person. No, God's blessed me in many ways that I don't deserve. But it motivates me. It says, God, I'm willing to obey. If you're going to shine the sunlight, if you're going to put the water, and that's what I need to grow, and that's what's going to bless, and that's what's going to take care of my relationship, and that's what's going to take care of my future, and I just have to trust in you, then I better be willing to get where God wants me to go and not stubbornly resist him. So when he reveals his commandments, I say, yes, Lord, and I obey you. If this morning, if you want to know experientially what God is saying in this book, If you want to know how to live, to be able to endure in the last days and be obedient to God, if you want the blessing of God on your life, then congratulations. You've understood the purpose of this verse. God's calling for us to say, you want my blessing, you can have it. Just take me at my word. You can have life. You have life or death, blessing or cursing. Choose. Will you love me and my word? And may God help us. Dear Father, Lord, we come before you. You've put to us